Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's one of the voices of my youth. You know, people talk about the person that they grew up, you know, listening to baseball broadcasts. You know, who did you listen to on the radio calling, you know, baseball games? You know, for obviously like Braves fan, you talk about Skip and Pete and Ernie Johnson Sr. and all that kind of stuff on the TV broadcasts, or Skip as part of the radio, Skip and Pete with the radio. You know, you talk about the voices of your childhood. For a lot of us, Tony is like one of the most important voices of our childhood. I mean, for me, you know, when you talk about my, you know, early days in my fandom, you know, Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby Heenan, then into Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, man, that's the voices of my youth. That's the guys that I love to listen to because I was such a fan of wrestling. So it's always a kick when Tony gets here. And I know, listen, he hates it in some ways, you know, but he has to understand that we love Tony and we appreciate, because when you see Tony, like, you can't help but get flooded with all kinds of great memories. You know, whether it's Bill Goldberg in the Georgia Dome beating Hulk Hogan for the title, you know, or the NWO, you know, his call on Bash at the Beach in June or July of 96 when Hulk makes the turn and goes to the NWO. I mean, those are moments that are ingrained in my brain forever. I'll never forget those kinds of moments. So, I don't know. We'll try to have fun with Tony. I know it drives me crazy. But I think AEW was immensely, immensely smart to bring both Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone in, because, say what you will, it brings a lot of instant credibility to their broadcast. You know, instead of trying to go down. Listen, I will tell you, part of what I don't enjoy about the WWE is their broadcast teams. I don't. I've never been a Michael Cole guy. He's not one of the guys. Listen, he's been there for a tremendously long time with the company. I've just never been a big Michael Cole guy. I think Michael Cole's best stuff, honestly, was in his early days when he would do the backstage interviews with The Rock, and The Rock would throw, I'm telling you, the Rock and Sock connection, the promo where he throws the T-shirt on Michael Cole's head and tells him, you know, just to keep his head up and so he can put the T-shirt on him. And then Mick Foley asks if he can keep the T-shirt after. That's the best stuff Michael Cole ever did, would be The Rock making fun of him, you know. So, but God bless Tony. Good to have him in studio here. All right, I want to get started with something, because I was looking at, as the Falcons get ready, and we'll be here for the full four tomorrow night, so we're really getting a preview of the game tomorrow night. By the way, we'll talk to Dave Cohen, we'll talk to Chip Towers as well. Lots of good college football action. Huge one for Georgia. Huge game for Georgia State, obviously, as well. But as we get into the Falcons game, and of course, you know, the six-sack performance, you know, of the Falcons, and what can they do this week to try to come anywhere close to replicating, you know, any of that. But obviously, this Vic Beasley in his final year. And, you know, it's people already talking about the idea of the Falcons, you know, getting Chase Young. Could they be in the Chase Young sweepstakes? Obviously, the defensive player for Ohio State, who's arguably the biggest game wrecker going in collegiate football on the defensive side of the ball. By the way, another one of those guys is going to be, you know, playing Georgia this weekend, because Derrick Brown is that dude as well. Yeah, he's going to go super high as well with all of it. But I think it's going to be a very interesting question to see whoever's the coach or GM, does it stay the same? Does it change? But how they approach this offseason from the standpoint of, will they invest big money into a free agent defensive end to go get somebody? Or will they draft really high, first or second round, and plug that guy in immediately? I think that's going to be the thing that is going to be the most fascinating going into the offseason, is how they approach it. I think we all agree, Vic Beasley won't be back. You're not paying Vic Beasley to come back here and do anything. But if you look at the free agent class of defensive ends, you know, it's okay. It's not great. I mean, Ansa is a free agent. Jadeveon Clowney will be a free agent. Who's the other guy that's got a one of the teams has a club option? The kid out of Minnesota. They have a club option on him. It's not a stellar defensive end class, you know what I mean? But, you know, you go look for guys. Look at what Kansas City got out of D Ford a couple of years ago, or last year, I should say, right? I mean, they took a flyer and paid him a decent amount of money, and he got, what, 11 sacks or something for the Chiefs, you know, last year? I mean, sometimes you can find a guy, and maybe you get to resurrect his career for all of it. But I think it's going to be fascinating to see, will the Falcons take money and invest into a veteran defensive end to try to bring in somebody with instant credibility as a pass rusher? Or are they going to go with a really high draft pick and try to find somebody immediately? Because let's face it, the Falcons are going to have a lot of things that they're going to have to figure out, especially in their draft. Are you going to need another wide receiver? What are you going to do at running back? What are you going to do at you know, you can always use another corner. I still am not 100% convinced that if Dan Quinn isn't here, that Keanu Neal is a Falcon next year, which means if Keanu wasn't a Falcon, you need a safety. There's a lot of things. If Devondre Campbell goes, you need another outside linebacker. They have a lot of holes. By the way, you're still not quite – I mean, you're sort of settled at defensive tackle beside Grady, but not really. There's a lot of ways you could go with the draft. Now, yeah, pass rush is still the enigma for this team. But would they address that going through free agency and spending some money on a proven commodity? Would they go the John Abraham route? You know, try to find a veteran to come in here and give them instant credibility versus trying to develop a guy? Or do you put your stock into drafting the next guy a la what they did with Vic Beasley, who was, what, the eighth pick of the draft, right, when he came out? That was Dan's first draft, right? Yeah, that was his first draft, wasn't it? Vic Beasley's his first draft pick, right? I believe I'm right on that. Because Jake Matthews was Mike Smith's last draft pick, I believe. I'll have to make sure we sort that out because we'll get yelled at if we don't get it right. So I think that's going to be the fascinating part is how the Falcons are going to approach that top of the draft pick. Because, listen, Falcons are not going to pick one or two or three. I don't believe so. I think the Falcons do have a few more wins in them to the maybe the chagrin of some people that are out there. But I do think the Falcons have some wins in them down the stretch. I think there are teams that they will beat. And so where your draft status is may put you not in the Chase Young sweepstakes. Yeah, Vic Beasley's the first draft pick, yeah, because Vic was number one and then Collins was the second round draft pick, yeah. So, yeah, so Justin Hardy, you know, okay, there's some really great names in that draft for the Falcons. Anyway, so I think it's going to be fascinating as you know, we continue down the second half of the season to start thinking about the storylines and what is going to develop for this team. So lots to get into for the Falcons still this year. All right, when we get back, it was a good start to the offseason for the Braves. We'll talk about the big move that they made today and kind of where to go from here. I kind of said that last night. Talk some more about it. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Tony Schiavone, woo! How can you be in a bad mood when Tony Schiavone's around? John Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, hanging out with you for about another hour before we get into Hawks basketball. 404-741-0929, that is our phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with us. Now, listen, I need to respond to a texter. You know, is this going to be blasphemy, Jarvis? I liked Gordon Solie, but he's not. For me, you know, Tony and Gorilla, you know, and JR are just, for me personally, more of my wrestling voices. And I love Gordon Solie. I mean, when you hear Gordon's raspy voice, you know, coming on there. I mean, you know, you have to love Gordon. I mean, certainly in all the years that he spent, you know, being part of, you know, what, NWA, then WCW and all that. But just for me personally, you know, I identify more, like my early voices for me, honestly, like, I know it sounds crazy, but Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura, I mean, they were, those two guys all pay-per-view together, or, you know, primetime wrestling for me as a kid was the must-watch show. They had that show. They had the interview show with Vince, would be like Johnny Carson with Lord Alfred Hayes sitting next to him. Primetime Wrestling. Oh, that was must-watch TV. There was a show on TV at the time that was more in Primetime Wrestling with Bobby and La Monsoon. You talk about the, to me, that's the best wrestling broad time. I mean, with all due respect to Tony Bear and all that, or to Jim and Jerry the King Lawler, you know, and again, obviously, those guys were there at the right time. I'll tell you who was a great broadcast, you know, in the early days of Raw, you know, in the mid-90s when Raw first kind of got started. They were great. When they actually had like two, when they kind of treated it as like two separate one-hour shows, the way that they had it. Like Raw is War, and then I forget what the second part of it was. But, man, just Gorilla and Bobby Heenan, because Bobby Heenan's the best, man. He's one of the most entertaining human beings I've ever watched in my lifetime. Follow us on Twitter, by the way, too, at JMCH316, at JMCH316, and follow him at JarvisD90. Well, we talked last night about the Atlanta Braves and being all in. I will tell you, first of all, obviously they listened to me. I mean, it's obvious that one day after we brought that up, the move that was made today. So if you didn't hear the news, Tony gave me an update. The Braves signed left-handed pitcher Will Smith to a three-year, $39 million contract that has a club option for $13 million in 2023. Now, we talked about Will Smith as a guy that I would love to see the Braves trade for last year. We knew he was going to be a free agent. He's from Georgia. What did you say, Noonan? No, he's from Southside, Georgia. I know he grew up a big Tom Glavine fan. That was his favorite pitcher growing up. He's a left-handed reliever. Had 34 saves for a bad Giants team last year. You know, put up big numbers for a bad team last year. Now, what's interesting is that 3 years, $39 million, okay? He's not going to be the closer for this team. Dave O'Brien, among others, has already reported that they plan to use Melanson. Now, I'll tell you why they'll use Melanson, and I know you guys won't like this, so go ahead and send me your – you can text me 447-410-19 and tweet me at JMCH316. I know, because I'm about to hate. You know why Melanson will be the closer? Because that guy in the dugout, that's his guy. Doesn't matter if they have Shane Green. And Shane Green's got to go through arbitration, by the way. So Shane Green is arbitration eligible. I would assume that they may have tried. He's probably going to get, I don't know, maybe $6 to $7 million. So they're going to have a very expensive bullpen, by the way, because Melanson's like $14 million. You know, Will Smith's going to, you know, be $13 million, somewhere in that range. Green probably $7 or $8 million. They got Darren O'Day coming back too, right? I think they said Darren O'Day is going to be back. He's got some money as well in all of it. So they definitely are investing into their bullpen. They're going to have a lot of money tied up in their bullpen. But as of right now, according to all the reports, is that Melanson will be the closer. Now, I understand things can change or whatever like that, but they won't change. You know why? Because that guy in the dugout got his guys, and he's going to roll with his guys, and Melanson could blow. It would take, honestly, Melanson blowing like four saves in a row before he'd go to a different closer. I know. Send me your hate texts and tweets and all that kind of stuff. I get it. I understand. But here's the problem. You know I'm right, though. See, that's the part that you guys don't like to admit, is that I'm right. When I say these things and then they go out and happen, you know, y'all don't text me back and say, damn, Chuck, you were right about all that. No, I know. I've been there for 26 years. I know how this organization operates out there. But look, this is a great start. I love Will Smith. I think there's still plenty of upside to Will Smith. He's 30 years old, so he's not on the back end of his career per se. I mean, he's still got some good years left. You know, Melanson's only got one more year. So, you know, next year after Melanson, you've got two more years, potentially three more years of Will Smith where he could be the closer for this team. And who knows with Shane Green. Now, Shane Green obviously was an all-star closer as well. So there's a lot of star power in that bullpen. And I think it's a good sign to the fan base that it's time to spend some money and go all in. Doesn't guarantee you anything, but you can't, you can't win the lottery if you don't go buy a ticket, right? And that's how the Braves have to approach this. And so I think that's a good, quick, early move to solidify something. You got a lot of flexibility now in your bullpen. Now they can figure a lot of things out. And it's going to be interesting. If they've made this move already, and we're not even to Thanksgiving yet, and they've already made this kind of move, I'm not going to be surprised, honestly, if AA is allowed to make a big, bold move. You know, Ronald Reagan famously said, you know, now is not the time to paint with pastel colors. It's the time to, you know, paint with bold colors. I think there was like at the 76 Republican National Convention or whatever, you know, before he was even a nominee for president. Now is the time for the Braves, like we talked about last night, to paint with big, bold, broad strokes. No dancing around, no little finite pen, no little Sharpie markers and stuff. You got to take, you know, a big swath of bold colors and go get it done now. Because now is the time. There's no more rebuild. There's no more excuses or nonsense or any reasons to not be all in. I don't want to hear about prospects. I don't want to hear about farm system. We're past all that. Now it's time to be one of the big boys in Major League Baseball. Now it's time to be the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros in teams and go make bold deals. You make trades. You go, listen, go trade for Mookie Betts or if Francisco Lindor's a trade for Fred, whatever it takes. And yeah, you're going to give up some prospects. I mean, with all due respect, if I have to give up a Pache or Waters to get Mookie Betts, you do that all day long. You know why? Because here's what I know. I don't know what Christian Pache or Drew Waters is. I do know Mookie Betts was the MVP of the American League, right? Okay. So I take what maybe could, should be, maybe hopefully, we hope someday, could be, whatever, or I plug the American League MVP into my lineup. Hello? Is this on? That's not a hard decision. I don't care how good you tell me. I don't care how good you tell me you think Pache or Waters can be. I know what Mookie Betts is. I know Mookie Betts, yeah. See ya, deuces. Okay? Love those guys. So, you know, and I know AA has basically talked about that nobody is off limits at this point. And truthfully, they don't have anybody who should be. That there's no reason to have anybody off limits. You can't think like that. Your job as a general manager is my team has to be better tomorrow than it was today. However, I got to go about doing that. I don't care what that is. If the guy who fills the Gatorade jugs up is better, I get a better guy tomorrow than I did today, you do that. I'm a firm believer, by the way, of the Bill Parcells theory. And you guys know how I feel about Parcells. That's my go-to guy when I think about philosophy on football and sports and things like that. Bill Parcells' philosophy was, if I can improve at the number 53 spot on the roster, I'm always trying to improve. Even if it means that I can get better at the 53rd spot on my roster, you always are trying to improve. You should always be in improve everywhere, everything, every time that you can. And so you don't worry about prospects. You go out and get a big name. And I tell you, I think that this to me is a good sign. This to me is already a better sign than even what we were looking at, you know, in last year's offseason. To make a move as quickly as they did, and truthfully, they spent some money. You know, for a guy who's not going to be your closer, $13, $14 million for a guy who's a setup guy or whatever he's going to be, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to spend on a guy like that that's not your closer out there. So I commend them for, you know, listen, I give them a bunch of crap because truthfully, they underachieved. I don't want to hear about 97 wins when you lose at home to an inferior team in the first round of the playoffs. Just, you know, one year after, you didn't go any further year over year. Good start for the Braves. They got to keep it up, though. Got to keep their foot on the gas pedal. All right, when we get back, Chris Kirschner from The Athletic, who covers the Atlanta Hawks, we will talk to him in about a little less than an hour, 55 minutes from now. We'll have Hawks basketball on for you as they continue their West Coast road swing in Phoenix. It's John Chuckery hanging in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Woo! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show as we come to you on a Thursday night. Hawks back in action tonight. Going to be in Phoenix continuing their West Coast swing. 8:30 pregame. Mike Connie will have all the pregame for you. And 9 o'clock tip-off. Steve Holman on the call. We go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. He is our guy that covers the Hawks for The Athletic. Chris Kirschner joins us here. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Kirschner. Chris, as always, appreciate time, buddy. Thanks for jumping on with me tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit first about Kevin Huerter. Looks like he'll be out for a little while. They're going to reevaluate in a couple of weeks, you know, I believe. What's the latest we're hearing about him and his injury?
Yeah, he's going to be out at least 2 weeks, which means it's going to be about 8 games for Huerter that he's going to miss. He had an MRI this morning, and the results showed that he had a left rotator cuff strain with an associated shoulder capsule strain. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know exactly in medical terms what all that exactly means. All that I know is that he's going to miss at least 2 weeks and 8 games. Now, if everything goes well with his rehab and the Hawks feel like he's ready to play, it's possible that he could return November 29th. It's going to be a game in Indiana, but it's probably more likely that he would return, again, if everything goes well with his rehab, December 2nd. That's a home game against Golden State, because that Indiana game is the first night of a back-to-back. They'll go to Indiana and then Houston the day after. So I highly doubt that he would join the team in the middle of a road trip like that. So it's probably more likely that he'll end up missing 10 games if everything goes well in his rehab and there's no setbacks.
Chris, the last three games, Trae Young has been outstanding, 35.7 points, 11 assists. And, you know, we've heard all the numbers about, you know, the club he's joined with Michael Jordan and LeBron James with the 30 and 11 or 30 and 10, you know, just on and on and on and on and on. I've got a couple of questions about him. First, you know, he's played over 40 minutes each of the last, you know, three games. You know, obviously, you know, his physical nature, you know, his size and stature and things like that, you know, 40 minutes is a lot for anybody in the NBA, let alone a guy that kind of is built like Trae Young. Have the coaches, right, even in a short sample size, talked about, you know, watching his minutes, just being careful about how much they have to play him, because it's such a double-edged sword? They can't afford to have him off the court very long.
And that's the problem. They can't afford to have him on the court very long. If he's off the court, the Hawks really don't have much of a chance with anybody. It's just because they don't have someone who can command the respect that Trae does on the floor, where he's consistently double-teamed. They don't have a reliable backup point guard right now, as Evan Turner remains out. And even if Evan Turner was healthy and wasn't dealing with Achilles pain, you know, he doesn't command the kind of respect that Trae does. But the thing about the, you know, playing over 40 minutes per game, it's obviously something that, you know, is concerning with his stature and with his size, and like you mentioned. But on the flip side of things, Trae is just one of those guys that he just wants to play. I mean, I go back to the preseason in that meaningless Chicago game. I think it was their last game of preseason. There was no reason for Trae to play, but he insisted on playing because he just loves being on the floor. And, you know, if it has to take 40 minutes for the Hawks to win, and if the Hawks do win, I can guarantee you that Trae doesn't care how long he plays, as long as the Hawks win. Yes, it's definitely something that, you know, could be a concern later on, but just because of the makeup of the team, you know, if the Hawks want to win games, that's kind of what they have to do right now. With Herter being out, probably at least 10 games, with John Collins being suspended 25 games, that's two of their three best players who, you know, Trae doesn't have on the floor with him. So if the Hawks, you know, have playoff aspirations, which, I mean, they still do, even though, you know, it's a grim situation that they are in just roster-wise, Trae has to continue playing at this kind of level. And, you know, I think for myself, and I've doubted the sustainability of Trae and the tear he's on, but the one thing that I've known covering the Hawks now in my second season is, you know, I just can't doubt Trae and his abilities anymore. I mean, what he does on a night-to-night basis, no matter who's on the opposing team, it's just incredible to watch. And if it takes 40 minutes for Trae and the Hawks to be in games, that's just what's going to happen.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show as we're on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chris Kirschner joining us, our guy that covers the Atlanta Hawks for The Athletic. As we will have the game tonight, 8:30 pregame with Mike Conti, 9 o'clock tip-off with Steve Holman on your home radio home for the Atlanta Hawks. The second part I want to follow up with Trae, and I talked about this the other night, and I want to get your reaction to it. I'm not telling you that Trae Young is, you know, the best player in the NBA or this, that, and the other, but when you talk about value to their team, I don't know that there are six guys that are more valuable to their team and what they are and how they operate than what Trae Young is. I think that's the amazing part about Trae Young is just his massive importance and impact already on an NBA franchise.
Yeah, for sure. He's not the best player in the league, or I don't think he's even top five, top ten. But he's a very good player, and there's no doubt about that. He's well on his way to being an Eastern Conference All-Star this year. And as I mentioned in my last answer, is that for the Hawks to be competitive, Trae has to continue playing this way, and he's shown that he has the skill set, he has the want, he has every single ounce of motivation possible to do whatever it takes for the Hawks to win. Just this morning in Phoenix at the team shoot-around, he was talking about just his level of play so far, and he said himself that he's not satisfied. The Hawks are 4-6. They're not undefeated. His goal is, as ridiculous as it is, his goal is to go 82-0, and, obviously that's not ever going to happen in any sport, but that's just his mindset. Like he just wants to be that kind of player where it doesn't matter again who's on the other team. He wants to win, and he's going to do whatever it takes to win. And he has that mindset already of the game's best players. And for the Hawks, that's so valuable because of the roster being so young. The roster not having as much talent as most of the other teams in the league, but they do have Trae Young, and I think that is a very, very valuable asset for this organization right now.
Chris, you talked about obviously with Herter going to be out now for an extended period of time, and obviously already John Collins is going to miss a good chunk of the season, and you mentioned it, if the Hawks could find a way to fight for that eighth playoff spot. Jabari Parker obviously has been, a real blessing in disguise, 18.6 rebounds. But does Coach Pierce feel confident enough that with the two rookies and Reddish and Hunter, those are a couple of guys that truthfully that when you're talking about other guys out, now those guys, like it or not, as rookies, do you feel like Coach Pierce is confident enough to push those guys and rely on those guys and maybe expand their role with this, team, given the injuries and given where they're at right now health-wise?
Yeah, well, the first thing is they don't have a choice whether he's confident
right.
or not.
Just
because, you mentioned it, John is out and Kevin is out. Alan Crabb is expected to return as soon as tonight. But, they don't really have a choice whether they're ready for an expanded role or not. Cam has been one of the worst offensive players in the league, and that's not even an exaggeration. I was just writing something before I hopped on the phone with you, and I have the stat right here. Out of 365 qualified players, Reddish ranks 355th in points per possession. He's been very bad on that side of the floor. The good news is that he's been very good defensively. He's actually been a better defender when you look at the advanced stats than DeAndre Hunter. So, and the Hawks drafted Hunter to be the team's best defender at some point. But so that is encouraging for Reddish. What's encouraging for DeAndre is that he too has been a good defender, and he's shown that he has the ability to make big shots. The other night in Portland on Sunday, he had a couple of very big shots in the fourth quarter to keep the Hawks in that game and force it to overtime. And he's shown flashes on offense so far where you can see that he has more in the arsenal than what he's actually shown so far. I definitely want to see DeAndre become more aggressive on offense because I do think he has the skills to be a sidekick for Trae, especially now that Kevin is out, because Kevin is that guy for Trae. And now Trae definitely needs someone to step up in that sidekick role. And I do think that Hunter has the ability to be that. We saw in preseason how aggressive he was, how well he handled the offense and pick and roll when Trae was off the floor. So if Pierce goes that route, I definitely think that Hunter could be that kind of guy that takes on more of an expanded role, especially on offense, because his defense on the other side of the floor has been good.
We'll have the game right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, 8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock tip-off with Steve Holman on the call as the Hawks are in Phoenix. And the man who covers them for The Athletic, join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Chris Kirshner. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at Chris Kirshner. As always, Chris, appreciate the time, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks a lot.
You got it. We'll be back. John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.